Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Most Christians are familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We know what it says. We have maybe a vague idea of what it means, but particularly, what does that look like in my life today, in the lives of others around me? In 2007, we all probably know the song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. But again, what exactly does that mean, to be consecrated to the Lord? Well, I think we can find a good example of that in our text today in Romans 16, 3 through 5, where Paul says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Aquila and Priscilla are examples of practical Christian dedication. Now, what do we know about Aquila and Priscilla? They're actually mentioned six times in the New Testament. They are a husband and wife team, partnership. Aquila is the man, and Priscilla, or Prisca, as it is in the Greek, is the woman. They are identified here in Romans 16:3 as Paul's fellow workers. Fellow workers, so that they are more than simply regular members of the church. We don't know to what extent they were fellow workers. We don't know exactly what their title or position may have been. But Paul obviously considers them part of his missionary team and more than just regular church members in the work of the gospel. And here we learn in verse 4 of Romans 16 that they risked their lives in order to save Paul. And for that, Paul renders public thanks. He tells the church at Rome what they did. In fact, in writing it in this epistle to the Romans, which has become a part of our New Testament, he tells all the world what they did, who risked their own necks for my life. Furthermore, we learn in verse 5 that they hosted a church in their house. And that was apparently in Rome. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So obviously, Paul is writing to Rome. If he's writing to the church that is in their house, then they are in Rome at this time. Now, we also know from the New Testament account that they did not always live in Rome. We learn, for example, in turning to Acts chapter 18, that Aquila, the husband, was a Jew who was a native of Pontus, recently moved to Corinth from Italy, that is, from Rome, because of the persecution of the Roman Emperor Claudius, which persecution, we know from history, lasted from AD 49 to AD 54. And at that time, Claudius Caesar commanded that all Jews be dispelled from the city of Rome. We know then, that when they were in Corinth, Paul came to Corinth and he came to them. What we don't know is when did they become Christians, but it would seem likely that it was before Paul came to them. It would seem likely that they had become Christians in the city of Rome before they had been scattered to other parts of the world, and in their case, to locate in the city of Corinth, because when Paul came to Corinth, he lodged in their house and he joined them in their labors, because they were tent makers, and they therefore provided a job for Paul, a livelihood where Paul could work with his hands while he was pursuing his missionary endeavors during a time when his mission support was low. And so he stayed with them at Corinth, he worked with them at Corinth, he made tents with them at Corinth, and then we learn from Acts chapter 18 that they traveled with Paul from Corinth to Ephesus. So in that move, they moved further east. We have traced them now from Rome in Italy to Corinth in what is today Greece, and then from Greece across the sea to Ephesus in what is modern-day Turkey. And there they remained for a good while, even when Paul moved on. In fact, we learn from elsewhere in the New Testament that they instructed Apollos in Christian doctrine, and that they had a church in their house in Ephesus. And we read in 2 Timothy 4:19 that they are in Ephesus, apparently back in Ephesus after having spent some time in Rome. So what do we gather from all of this? Well, of course, they certainly are obviously dedicated Christians who served the Lord wherever they were. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, wherever, and served the Lord in a very dedicated and sacrificial way. Furthermore, from all of this traveling around, and also the fact that wherever they went, they seemed to be able to house a church in their home, we can reasonably deduce that they were fairly well-to-do, probably wealthy business people whose tent-making business was not just a husband-wife, mom-pop operation, but involved a number of workers, and that's why, when Paul came to them, he was able to join their working crew. They probably employed a good number of people. And it's very possible that they even had branches of their business in these different cities. A branch in Rome, a branch in Corinth, a branch in Ephesus. In fact, that may even be the reason why they were interested in traveling from Corinth to Ephesus with Paul. Certainly in support of gospel work, but perhaps also to branch out and establish another location for their family business. And so here are dedicated believers, dedicated businessmen, business people, who, though well-to-do, are very glad to invest their lives and their resources in the work of the gospel. They are a very excellent illustration of what Romans 12 says. One is all about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that is your lives, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Number one, it means to have a marriage devoted to Christ. A marriage devoted to Christ. The goal of marriage is not simply to make us happy. The goal of marriage is to honor the Lord, to glorify God, to serve the Lord better as a couple, as a team, than you would be able to do individually. And to that end, you've got to work at developing not only a good marriage, which does take work, but developing teamwork in the service of Christ in your marriage. I don't think a Christian has the right to enter a marriage relationship unless they can reasonably demonstrate that this marriage will make them a better servant of Christ than they would be unmarried. And so that's the goal of marriage. I can serve the Lord better married to this person than I can by myself. If that's not true, if that's not clearly and obviously true, then I say it again, I don't think you have any biblical reason or permission to get married. Furthermore, in your marriage, you need to work at development. that is working at developing your potential for Christ. Remember how Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 said that the husband is to nourish and cherish his wife, even as the Lord, the church? In other words, to develop her. In what way? Well, in her Christian growth, in her maturity, in growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in her ability to serve the Lord. That ought to be a very definite goal, and there ought to be a plan for development. There ought to be definite ways that in your marriage you are working at better developing one another to become more effective servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the reason for your marriage, the kind of activity that you should be endeavoring to carry out in your marriage, is to find fruitful ways to serve the Lord together. Certainly you will have differing gifts and talents, but you'll find ways to utilize them all in the service of Christ together. It may be that the wife is more outgoing than the husband. Maybe she's more of a people person than the husband, or vice versa. But there's nothing wrong with that. You can serve the Lord together in whatever way and ways God has gifted you, but you need to be thinking about it intentionally, looking for ways to make that happen. I promise you, folks, if you make happiness in your marriage your goal, you'll never achieve it. You'll always be frustrated, and you will be disappointed, because in trying to achieve it, you will not be able to achieve it, and therefore your marriage will always be in jeopardy. But if the goal of your marriage is pleasing God, then you will be achieving it, as you are sincerely giving yourself to that, and your own happiness will be a byproduct of that, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, of course, there's no way that you can please the Lord. But your happiness in marriage will be a byproduct of your first goal, your first priority, to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, to submit our marriage to the Lord, to submit our goals in marriage to the Lord, to bend our activities and resources in this marriage to how we can best serve the Lord. And when that is your goal, dear friends, you will find that happiness is a byproduct. I remember a wise old preacher from the past who said something like this: happiness is not something that you find by looking for it. Happiness is something that you stumble over on the road to duty. Happiness is not something you find by looking for it. Happiness is something that you stumble over on the road to duty. Well, the duty for a child of God is to serve the Lord, honor the Lord. That's our reason for being, is to know God and glorify Him forever, both here upon the earth and throughout all eternity. And that's the goal of our marriage. It doesn't change because we become married. That simply blends together two Christians who have the same goal and can now help each other reach that goal together. And as you are giving yourself to this supreme goal, this worthy goal, you will find that happiness comes to you almost accidentally, almost incidentally, as a byproduct of your bending your efforts in a Godward direction. That's Aquila and Priscilla, and I hope that is you as well. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.